Yes, it's Talking Travel Time and I'm joined by Sally Lucas. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome back for
another week. Another sojourn to the other side of the country as usual.
That's
It was good. It was lovely. We do have two stinkers of about 39, but after that, it wasn't too bad.
You're always a busy woman, aren't you?
I am. I am. It's the only way to be.
Well, that's exactly right. You know? You can rest when you're dead.
You haven't got a choice then,
have
you?
That's right. So where are we going today?
I thought we'd a couple of opposite places. Vanuatu, which is close to home, which did suffer quite a really bad earthquake a couple of years back and has been trying to obviously rebuild and re-establish itself in tourism because they really need it. It's their main source of income. And I thought we'd talk about Vanuatu and also 10 interesting facts about Madagascar, which is one of those interesting little islands, of course, of Africa.
Lovely. And actually, I'm going to ask you about what's happening with the war and, with people cancelling, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think we need to discuss that so people know exactly where they stand if they've already got existing bookings. Yes,
right,
I think that's really important to talk about as well.
This is Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. Now, look, we're going to address the elephant in the room, so to speak, to begin with. And talk about, what's going on with the war as far as travel goes.
I think it needs to be talked about. I think obviously people are anxious and you can understand that if you're planning a holiday into the Northern Hemisphere. So anything south of the equator, of course, we're all fine at the moment. Of course, we don't know what's happening with fuel. I mean, avgas is different. I'm not sure what the storage capacity is for that as opposed to oil. But as far as going north and you had your holidays already booked, obviously people who are over there now, we and all the other agencies that are doing the same thing as trying to get you home if you're in a country where you feel the airline isn't operating or it's got limited capabilities of getting you home and you want to get home quickly. So that is hard, but this is where your travel agent will always help you and reroute you via somewhere to get you home. It may cost you more money, of course, to do that. You've got to understand that. And you've also got to understand because it's an act of war, you're not covered by travel insurance. So anything additional you pay for will be at your own expense. The other thing to keep in mind is if you've got your bookings a fair way ahead, say the middle of the year, don't go and rush and cancel. Because if you cancel, the airline will charge you their normal cancellation fee, as will the tour operator or the cruise operator. But if they decide to withdraw their departures or their flights or their tours due to what's happening, then you will get a refund or a full credit. So you're better to wait and see what they're doing rather than you biting the bullet and saying, oh, I'm going to cancel my holiday. Well, you're not going to be covered for insurance. So
right.
There's no point. So just sit tight is what I'd say to anyone who's already booked. Those who haven't booked yet, obviously you're going to be anxious. I can understand that. And you might be waiting to see whether this whole thing escalates or not. Certainly, though, if you're still intent on going into Europe or England, there are various different ways you can get there. So you don't have to go through the Middle East, obviously. You can go through Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, through Ho Chi Minh City, through Tokyo, through Taipei, through China. So there's lots of different ways. You can go by Canada. You can go by South Africa. So there's all these other different routes. However, having said that, a lot of the Asian routes now, because people have been switching over, so they're not obviously going to be going through the Middle East anymore for the time being, flights are chockers because all of these people are moving across from what was the busiest route really was through the Middle East because it's the most direct route into Europe, whereas the other way it costs them more fuel because you remember our Earth is round, it's not flat. So they've got to go up through Asia, they've got to go up and across over the pole or whatever. So it's a different route. So it's a more expensive route. So you're going to be paying more at the moment, I'd say, because of the capacity.
Right. Okay.
So there's a lot. It's a bit like COVID, in a sense, not exactly, but I mean, we suffered then. We had to think what was happening. Did we cancel? Were we waiting for people called, airlines and so on to make decisions about what to do? So it's a similar scenario, but not as bad, obviously. So let's just hope some sort of common sense prevails in the near future that this doesn't escalate. But I guess it's a wait and see situation.
All right. Well, fingers crossed. Just quickly, we want to talk about Vanuatu.
Yes, a beautiful place. Been there many, many times over our history as a family of three. We started going there, I think, when our son was about two or three, and we probably go every 2 years. Loved it. gorgeous little nation, Pacific Island nation. It suffered desperately badly a couple of years ago with a shocking earthquake that really, you know, demolished a lot of their structures, buildings, etc. But they're slowly coming back, and tourism is their main source of income. So they're desperate to have us back. And we have got direct flights into Port Vila. They do have an arrival tax now because they're such a poor country. So I think it's around about $63 is the arrival tourism fee now. But that's going to go to help infrastructure and help tourism because, you know, when such a poor country is hit by such devastation, they don't have the money to, you know, come back quickly. So there is a lot of the restaurants and things that were badly destroyed or almost destroyed have not reopened, but quite a lot have. And there's some new restaurants have opened now, a new French restaurant where we used to go, the Waterfront Bar and Grill. It's still there. It was lucky it didn't get damaged. It's one of the oldest drinking holes, if you like, in Port Vila. It was originally a yacht club, but it's now... And of course, with Vanuatu, it's not just one island. It is a little archipelago. So you've got the wonderful Tanner Island with its volcano. You've got Santo Island with its beautiful deep water holes and blue lagoons and its cave system. And so it's really a delightful place to visit. It's only a couple of hours away by flight. You know, it's half the distance of going to Perth or to Darwin. So it's very close for us. Mm. The people are, the Nevan people are friendly, like a lot of islanders are. Lovely local markets, but they've still got that French influence when it was partially French controlled. So you still get these beautiful baguettes and these French foods there as well. So it's a little bit of a mix of the island and the French. So look, if you're just looking for somewhere close to home to go, you still want a holiday, you don't want to go overseas to a long, far-flung destination, consider not just Vanuatu, obviously, but New Caledonia, Fiji. We've got lots of lovely Pacific Islands close to Australia that would love you to visit them.
Nice places to relax.
Perfect places to relax. But adventure too, if you want to do that. Plenty of adventures, sailing, you know, scuba diving, snorkeling, etc., etc., rapids, you know, rafting, all of that. So there's plenty to do.
Your station 2NURFM 103.7. This is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas, and we're looking at Madagascar now.
We are. Something just entirely different, I thought. It's a unique island nation there, and it's got absolutely unparalleled biodiversity, rich culture and fascinating geological wonders. 90% of the plants and animals that are found on Madagascar are found nowhere else on Earth. So that's just to give you an idea how special it really is. But it's got everything from lush rainforest to dry deserts to grassy plains, etc. And, of course, they're really famous for their lemurs, which I love lemurs. They are just such a cute animal, aren't they?
Especially when they talk, like in the movie.
Oh. I love them when they sunbake. I've seen them leaning against a building, even at Dubbo Zoo, and they've just got their arms and legs out. Like they're a human, just sunbaking.
Yeah, they're characters.
They're absolutely classic. And, of course, they've got all different sorts of lemurs. It's not just one type of lemur either, so just keep that in mind. Now, you've got to remember that it is the world's largest, fourth largest island after Greenland and New Guinea and Borneo. And it's probably a hard place to reach, but it's worth the journey. It's 400 k's east from South Africa across the Mozambique Channel. So you can add on, if you're going to South Africa, it's a good add-on if you want to have a look around. And it's as I said, it's a large island, so you would need to either do a tour or you could hire a vehicle or, you know, and do it that way. So whatever you want to do. So they have very strong ocean currents there, which has isolated the island from the African continent, and about 90% of the island's mammals and 89% of its plant species and 95% of its reptiles are endemic to that island. So it is a very unique spot. The lemur, as we've mentioned, of course, it's just the only place in the world where you have lemurs in the wild. So we'll see lemurs in zoos, of course, but this is the only place where you actually see them. And it's because of the lack of predators there, and it's the isolation from the rest of the world that's ensured that they thrive. So it's just amazing. So I just can't imagine going through there and seeing all these different lemurs with their bug eyes and that looking at you. I mean, it'd be just wonderful, wouldn't it? So, yeah, so keep that in mind. So you've got your lemurs, but you've also got half of the world's species of chameleons as well. And, I mean, that's interesting.
But you wouldn't be able to see them because they just blend in.
They keep changing their colour to blend in with whatever it was. So, yes, but, I mean, you might be lucky enough if you keep looking, if you're one of those patient people that just can't wait for that photograph. And also they've got, like, an unusual predator, which is a carnivorous animal, which is like it's got paws like a cat and a long tail like a monkey and roundy is like a weasel, they say, but it's closely related to the mongoose. So that's one of the only predators on the island. That's all.
What's that called?
And it is called, well, I did have my bit of paper here.
I've thrown you on the spot there.
No, that's funny. It doesn't have the name of it there. Doesn't know why they have the name. It's called the fossa. Sorry,
F-O-double.
The fossa. There right. you go. Now, the other thing Madagascar's renowned for is its towering baobab trees, which is the national tree of Madagascar. They can grow up to 30 metres tall and they have a lifespan of over 1,000 years. So incredible trees, as we all know. They're called the tree of life because it's a vital resource, offering sustenance, water, refuge, medicinal benefits to both humans and animals. And in Madagascar, there are 6 endemic species of the baobab. So that contributes to the country's unique biodiversity. And there's plenty of reserves there you can go to as well. The people that are there are called a Malagasy, and they've lived there for only about 1,300 years. So they're the indigenous people of there. The language is spoken there as well as Malagasy. There's different other, African dialects as well. Different people have come over from Southeast Asia and India and even French, because, you know, the French are all in that area, as you know, in all that East African and down even into Mauritius and so on, all Reunion Island. French were really quite prevalent in travelling and down to those areas of the world. After World War II in 1947, they fought for their independence from France. So that was actually even a French protectorate. And then in 1960, it eventually became an independent nation. So they have lots of crafts, lots of artifacts, which we've just talked about, just wonderful biodiversity of both plants and animals. So if you're going to Africa, I think if you've got the time, it would be a wonderful add-on to do at the end of your touring in Africa. So just keep that in mind. Good old Madagascar.
Great idea. 2NURFM on air, online and on your smartphone. This is Talking Travel, and we're talking about hot deals now, Sally.
We certainly are, and this is really hot because it is a hot time of the year anyway, but escape to the Northern Territory.
Very hot.
But if you can cope with the heat, and it's not as bad as the build-up, at least you get storms that give you that relief of an afternoon. And as I've mentioned before, it's when all your waterfalls and your billabongs are full. So you're getting to see it at its most lush and its most beautiful. I think it's far more beautiful then than it is in the dry season. And you've got all the beautiful water lilies out in your lagoons and your billabongs and the gorgeous waterfalls flowing full on, and everything's lush instead of dry. So just keep it in mind. And they always have these specials at this time of the year to encourage people to go at that time. Now, these offers finish on the 31st of March, and there's a lot of them. They're just quite short little packages, like there's an Uluru 3-night package. So even if you're driving up, you're on a holiday there, and you might have a few grey nomads travelling that are listening into us, you could pick up one of these packages if you don't want to do the driving yourself, because you're going to get the commentary, you find out about everything. Sometimes it's better than just trying to do it on your own. There's one doing the Field of Light in Uluru as well, Uluru and the McDonnell Ranges. They're doing one into Kakadu, a lovely 6-day one into Kakadu, which is great. Includes a couple of nights in Darwin as well as 4 nights in Kakadu. Yellowwater Billabong cruise, a Jabiru scenic flight. There's Darwin foodie one, and the food in Darwin is fantastic.
Really?
Because of the
what
Asian
sort of
influence.
Oh.
Because of all the, yes, there's a lot of the markets, and you get all this beautiful, when the mangoes are in season, and even when it's the papayas and these incredible salads they make, and the beautiful laxas, and this, the food is just.
So you just go for the food, don't you?
I go everywhere for the food. Anyway, Darwin, Litchfield and Kakadu. Now, there's lots of reduced rates on all these packages, but the offer ends the 31st of March. So and they range anything from $600 up to about the long one of 6 nights is a bit over 4, valued normally at over 5. So they've got some good reductions on these. So just keep that in mind if you're thinking of escaping to the territory. Now, Oceana Cruises, they've got some incredible deals on a couple of cruises that ends on the 15th of April. Now, one's Singapore to Bali in November 2026, which is a lovely itinerary that you're doing. And you're going all through Bali, Surabaya, Semarang, Jakarta, Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, Penang, Langkawi and Phuket.
Lovely.
Yeah, which is a nice one. That's a 14-day itinerary. And they've reduced the fares from that by $3,000.
That's a great deal.
And there's a one Sydney to Auckland, which is just for anyone who might just want to do like a cruise one way, do a tour, fly home to save doing the flight both ways. So that is going from Sydney to Melbourne to Hobart, across to Milford Sound, then around the bottom of the South Island, Dunedin, Timaru, Wellington, Napier, Gladstone, Rotorua, Auckland. It's another lovely itinerary. They've whacked about over $2,000 off that one. And there's another one, Hong Kong to Tokyo. Oh, sorry, that was February 2027, and it's 14 days. These are all 14 days, by the way. The other one is Hong Kong to Tokyo. It's also February 2027. And it's going from Hong Kong to Taipei to Ishigaki, Okinawa. It's going up into Korea to Busan, and it's going to Nagasaki. It's going to Kagoshima, Kyoto, Tokyo, etc. Again, lovely itinerary. And again, they've knocked over $2,000 off that. Now, that offer ends on the 15th of April. And Bunnik Tours have got a range of lovely itineraries at the moment. Japan Discovery, which is 16 days. Best of Southern Japan as well. Colours of Northern Japan. Japan's been the flavour of the month for a while now, but they do a lot of great itineraries. Airfares are included on all their packages, so it's a good one. Most meals, all your sightseeing. So hands, you know, don't have to go in the pocket for all the extras, so you sort of paid up front. They do South Korea in depth. They do a wonderful one of Sri Lanka, one of my favourites, 17 days with airfares included. And that's only about just over $6,000 for 17 days with your airfares.
That's great.
A lot of meals and sightseeing, just to give you an idea. And a 23-day that does Vietnam and Cambodia with airfares. And that's still from under nine with a lot of inclusions. So, look, there's plenty to do in our part of the world, south of the equator. If you're not feeling like going north of the equator, we've got, as we've just talked about, Madagascar. There's South Africa, East Africa, the whole of the southern part of Asia, the South Pacific, South America. Hey, we're not caught short on anywhere to go.
That's right. It's
plus our own country.
Great places to choose
from. And New Zealand.
That's right.
Cross the ditch. Got to cut that one in there.
Thank you very much, Sal. We'll catch up with you next week.
Will do.
Talking Travel on 2NURFM.